Hi, everybody. This is Jerry with Family Time Q&A, and I have with me...
Olivia.
Olivia, yes. How are you today?
Great. We had a nice, cool winter weather, but it's actually spring.
It is spring. We actually had a nice little outing today, didn't we?
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Joseph Cortez from Exit Realty here in Corpus Christi, also a blogger from fatherpreneur.com. I'll post that in the show notes. Hosted an Easter egg hunt. So we took our 12-year-old son and our 10-year-old daughter over for some picnicking type stuff and the Easter egg hunt. And I love that Easter egg hunt because Jacob was like, well, I'm too old for that. I'm not going to do that. But his attitude changed, didn't it?
Yes. As soon as Oakley said, there's one big golden egg and it has a prize and there's a few other eggs that have money. Then Jacob was a goner.
He was gone. He took off, too.
He was supposed to save Emma from the rattlesnakes.
Yeah. But not for that prize. He was like, nope, you're on your own. Peace. And they even had, like, a cornucopia in the center, like, of the field where they had the Easter eggs. There was, just a big pile of Easter eggs. And I remember Jacob telling Emma, when they start, go for the center. And, of course, me being a big fan of the Hunger Games, I turned to Emma and I said, no, Emma, that's the cornucopia. It'll be a bloodbath. And, of course, we're talking about kids who are mostly, between the ages of 2 and 6. And I'm talking about bloodbaths and Hunger Games. And I thought, okay, I'm a bit of a dork.
A bit?
A little bit. All right, for those who aren't familiar with our show, this is where I have one-on-one time with members of my family. This week it happens to be Olivia's turn. And Olivia is going to ask me a question. I have no idea what her question is going to be. I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability. And then we're going to flip the unscript. And I'm going to ask her a question that she has no idea what it is. And then we're going to close it out with a question that came in from a friend of mine, Sean Albright, out of San Antonio, Texas. Sent a question in, and I'm going to pose the question and close it out. So, are we ready to begin?
I think we already began.
Yeah, we did.
About 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. You're pretty good.
I'm ready to ask you a question, if that's what you're asking.
You mean the question I'm avoiding?
Yes.
Okay. Your turn.
Okay. I'm kind of scared because Emma's in the kitchen right now with my hair dryer and...
And water.
And crayons. And she's melting the crayons to a canvas, and we have the door closed, and we're just letting her do her thing over there. And I just heard the... Hair dryer turn on and then off. So
yeah, and we
might have to cut it short because Emma has burned our house down or something.
Well, I think we'll hear her scream before.
Or thrown melted crayon wax all over the kitchen. Anyway, okay. My question.
Your question. As we've just acknowledged that we're not big on supervision of our children.
Well, they're not like toddlers.
Good point.
Okay, what do you think God has taught us through this, what seems like, super duper long period of waiting?
Waiting for what?
Waiting for your big break. Waiting for a breakthrough in jobs and finances and, you know, so that we can do things that we've been dreaming of since we've been married. What do you think we've learned from this waiting that we've been doing?
There's a lot there. For those who don't know of our background, Olivia and I met while we were in the Army. And I left the Army and just completely changed the direction of my life. I'd actually grown up my whole life wanting to do nothing more than serve in the military. And I did that. But after one tour in Iraq and having Emma born, our second child, it just dawned on me that my family was much more important than a career in the United States Army. So despite growing up and gearing myself up for nothing but a military career, I found myself shifting gears and we left the Army. So after one tour and a 6-month extension, I was out. Since then, I've worked at a hospital as an education coordinator. We had a very rough season as a real estate agent. Where we started off great, and then our you know, sales just dropped to almost nothing. Like, I went from 22 sales in a year to 4 in 1 year. That was my final year. And financially, we've just struggled quite a bit. Like, we have what we need. So when we're,
you know, especially now.
Yeah, we're okay. So we're not going to lose our house or anything like that, guys. But I will post a link into the show notes here of where I do go into all those details. But I think what Liv is asking for, I think what you're asking for is, when are we going to have our big break? Where?
No, what have we learned from this waiting period? Okay.
The big break, that was a completely different conversation we had. Yeah. I think we've learned quite a few things. Before all this transformation, I think we were pretty stupid with our money. Like, we spent it, we had things on credit, and we had nothing saved up. And we just weren't good stewards of our finances. And that was at a time where we were making probably 25% more than what we get now. Probably almost 30 or 40%. I mean, more than we earn now. So in that time, we learned a lot about what are priorities for spending, how to communicate about our money with each other. So on a financial level, I think we've definitely learned a lot about that. I think career-wise, a big part of me was still kind of searching, what is our purpose? What is our, you know, what does God have planned for us as far as calling? And I think a big part of that is sharing our life with others to, you know, have healthy marriages without being counselors and psychologists. So being real people. How that looks, I don't think we know yet. We're still kind of playing around with that. And then more recently, I think we're still learning how to think bigger, because I recently had lunch with somebody, a new friend, and it just amazed me that, you know, this guy was an operations director. He still is an operations director for a chemical pump company. And just listening to him talk, it dawned on me, like for my work, when I need something like a box of paper clips, you know, I have to write a requisition form out and, you know, and put that request in a month prior to my actual need for the paper clips. And sometimes that box of paper clips is met with some scrutiny, not a lot, but you know, the point I'm making is, to get a dollar's worth of supplies, I've got to fill out a form, turn it in, get it signed by my supervisor. And in talking with this gentleman, it dawned on me that if this guy needs something for his company and it costs $10,000, he's allowed to write a check for that. And the point I'm making is that his vision, his scope of the world was so much larger than mine. He was thinking with a whole lot more zeros behind his numbers. And it just made me realize, see, there's a book I read, Pastor Bill Cornelius from Bay Area Fellowship wrote it, called Today is the Day. And one of the steps that he talks about is, whatever your dream is, add a couple of zeros to the end of it. And so I think that's another thing I just recently learned is, whatever my dream is, whatever our dream is, we need to tack a bunch of zeros on the back of it just to expand our mind, and, you know, stretch ourselves. I think, you know, we keep putting ourselves into a comfort zone in a way. We still think small. You know? And that goes for me, mostly. How about you, Woody?
Is this my question?
No. I had a completely different question. We don't get to reciprocate on that, or what your thoughts are?
Oh, okay. I think God has taught us how to work well as a couple, like you said, and that's too close. It's going to poke me in my eye.
Yeah, it is. Oh, we're talking about the microphone. Okay.
Yes. He's taught us how to work well together as a couple and kind of how to balance each other out when dealing with our budget. And, really how to live off, like you were saying, a whole lot less while doing a whole lot more, like saving and giving and tithing too. Well, tithing and then giving.
Yeah.
So we're living off a lot less.
And it's funny, when we were making more money back in 2006, we weren't doing any of those things. Like, we were just starting to tithe, and that was when we felt like it. Yeah, when we didn't have too much month at the end of our paycheck, we would do it. So it wasn't the first thing we would do. It was like the last that we would do with our leftovers. If we had enough, and if it looked like we would be okay. And today we're not in that place anymore, where I think we've matured with our finances. So I'm ready to see a lot of zeros tacked on.
it would be nice to make more money, then we could do more.
Yeah.
We could give more and
go to Disney World more.
Yeah, we could go to Disney World. Shoot, I'd like to be there right now.
I know.
Writing Splash Mountain.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's time to write Splash Mountain right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
What song do you think they'd be playing? That's not my question, by the way. We're just going down memory lane, guys. Okay.
So my question?
Oh, yeah. My question to you. All right. And it is written down here. Okay. So this weekend, our pastor, Pastor Bill Cornelius with Berea Fellowship, had mentioned, and I've heard this spoken of many times, and I've seen it in the Bible, that it's in our weaknesses that we see God work his strength and his power. You know, a lot of times in our world, we think that, you know, we got to rely on our strength. But, you know, with God, you know, he says that it's in our weaknesses that we'll find his strength and his power shine through. So my question to you is, what would you say is our family's weakest area where we would like to see God's strength and power shine through? You want to prove that it's really what I had written down?
No, I just need it.
Okay.
Our family's weakest area where we would like to see God's strength and power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Give me an example, like a for example.
I can't give you an answer or feed you your answer.
No, I don't want to. I just need help.
Okay.
A little bit.
Well, we were kind of talking about it on Friday. Just when, you know, my mind was kind of blown as far as like scope and like I personally came to that realization where, you know, ever since I left the United States Army, I haven't worked a management position and, mm-hmm. you know, just avoided it like the plague. But, you know, when I think about where do I go from here as far as my professional career, that is the next step, is to go into management. But I have no management experience. I'm 38 years old. So that, you know, it's a weakness. And I've seen God work through that weakness. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been ministry directors in the past. We've been coordinators. You know, so people have come to us for leadership. But as far as actually getting paid to be like a director or supervisor, you know, I hadn't done that. So I guess what's one thing that you think we struggle with over and over and over again where you'd like to see that not be a struggle anymore?
I guess it comes along with our big break too, because really I'd like to be able to save more money for when we do have an emergency. You know, it doesn't hurt us as much, and we're not having to scramble as much to get things fixed or taken care of, or, you know, I would like, you know, a bigger paying job, you know, whether for you or for me or, you know, both of us to contribute to that. So we could, like I was just saying, do more, you know, save for our family and give, you know, for others and go on vacations. And I am grateful for what we have. I'm very thankful because we're way blessed, you know, and I'd like to be blessed a little bit more so we can be a blessing to others and, you know, enjoy things a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like we're at that point where it's like the prayer of Jabez? Of you. First Chronicles. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll look it up and put it in the show notes.
I say Jabez.
You say Jabez? Yeah. I think I always say Jabez, and then I get self-conscious and I say Jabez. Throw some Latino in there, some fake Latino since I'm not Latino. But, you know, the prayer of Jabez is, you know, Lord, expand my territory so I can be a blessing to others. And don't let me be a pain to other people, because his name meant pain. And I feel the same way. Like, I feel like I'm ready for our territory to be expanded, our financial plate to be expanded. But not just so we could, you know, drive a nice car. I think if we got more money, I would still drive the same type of junky cars. I'd still buy used, but we would have the money to set aside where we could replace that junky car if we needed, or, you know, the water heater goes out, we're not stressed about it. And I know there are a lot of people out there who, you know, when something breaks, you know, they go straight to a credit card and then they're regretting having to make those payments every month. And I want to be more like Tim Ferriss from the 4-Hour Work Week, where we're the new rich. And that is, wealth isn't defined as far as dollars go, but in terms of freedom and mobility. So we have the freedom to go where God's calling us to go. And we have the mobility to actually go at that moment. You know, if there's a need or something we see we could fill, I want us to be able to write that check and give that to somebody. You know, when we hear that Bunny is in Disney World, we want to be able to hop on a plane and say, "Hey, Bunny, we're your biggest fans in Corpus Christi, Texas." Or, you know, I want to be able to say thank you to people. I want to be able to bless other people. I want us to be, you know, be able to take care of ourselves on a level we haven't been able to before. So I think I kind of agree with you. Like, the big break in terms of seeing our finances grow, but also see our careers grow.
Yeah.
You know, growing this blog is another one. Growing this platform and being able to reach out to others, and me specifically, I have it on my heart to help men close to my age, you know, 30-somethings, and even younger, 20-something-year-old men, be intentional about being a father and about being a husband. You know, even before they become a husband and father, you know, develop the character they want, the right character that'll help them have healthy marriages and healthy families. And I'm just at the starting point of that. Hopefully I got a nice long life ahead of me so I can see that come to fruition.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was going to say something and I was listening to you talk and I forgot what I was going to say.
I mesmerized you? No? Hold on. There's a dagger in my heart right now.
Oh, stop it.
Hold on.
I wish I could remember.
That's the dagger hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I remember what I was going to say?
So I didn't mesmerize you with my voice?
Yes, I was completely mesmerized.
Thank you. So you say the sweetest thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I love you. Cool.
Well, so, question?
Yeah, we got a question from a friend of ours because, you know, we've been asking for a long time now. Friends, listeners, you know, email us. Comment, tell us what you'd like to hear us ask or address. And so this is what we call the Family Time Q&A shout-out question. This is from our friend Sean Albright, who lives in Burney, Texas. Now, if you're thinking, where the heck is Burney, Texas? If you've heard of San Antonio, Texas, you've heard of Burney, Texas, because that's where all the cool stuff is, like Burney and barbecue, and I think SeaWorld is over there? Or am I thinking the wrong side of San Antonio?
I don't really know.
What do we know? We live in Corpus. So
it's all San Antonio to me.
Yeah, it's all San Antonio to us. But anyway, that's where he lives. That's where he works mostly. This is Sean's question to us, but I don't really have an answer. So I'm going to throw this question right out to all of you. I would love for you to respond to us in the comments section on my blog. Email to us if you're receiving this podcast by email. Email it back to us. Let us know if we can post it onto the comments section of our blog. We'll be glad to do that. Or if you're hearing this from my Facebook page, comment on the Facebook page and get a discussion going. But here's his question. Why is it called peer pressure when we're talking about kids and teenagers? But we refer to that same peer pressure as society or keeping up with the Joneses when we're adults. And the whole concept changes from something we should resist as teenagers. So we should resist peer pressure as kids and teenagers. But then when we're adults, the same type of peer pressure, society or keeping up with the Joneses, is something that is just accepted. So it's pretty deep. So why is it called peer pressure when we talk to kids and we tell them this is something you should avoid and be your own person? But then when we grow up, we've got to keep up with the Joneses, which is really peer pressure to do what everybody else is doing. That's a great question, Sean.
It just switches, huh?
Yeah.
Like the opposite happens.
Yep. And right now, hopefully people are like, wow, mind blown.
Well, we're not really supposed to come to the adult peer pressure, huh?
Yeah.
But most everybody does.
Oh, yeah. You know, guys who go out and get the bass boat. You're like, I'm not going to get a bass boat. I don't even like to fish. Now, if it was the zombie apocalypse and we had to fish,
I think I'd be scared to eat fish in a zombie apocalypse.
I'd actually be scared to fish.
You might pull something else up.
Yeah, or something will sneak up behind me while I'm casting a line. And, yeah, I think. Yeah, let's not talk about the zombie apocalypse. I'm good.
That'll be another question. My next question to you is going to be, how long do you think you'll really live in the zombie apocalypse, Jerry?
I'd make it.
Sure.
From a secure, undisclosed location, using a lot of people as bait, hopefully. No, I'm just kidding.
Me.
No.
And Jacob and Emma.
Hey. I would do my best to protect y'all.
How many minutes?
Oh.
Have we been talking?
Just 21.
21?
Yeah.
Shoot, we need to go.
We need to go?
Yeah.
Why, is this too long?
For some people, yes.
That's true. Hopefully you didn't cut us off after a few minutes and you listened through, but hey, send us your questions in. Answer Sean's question about peer pressure and keeping up with the Joneses on my blog, Facebook, Twitter, and we'll keep in touch. Next episode is Emma Page, and we got to go make sure she didn't burn the house down. So we'll talk to you later.
Bye.